Joined this morning by Phil Gambini of Investigative Post. Good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning, Jay.
Thanks very much for joining us. Your story this morning brings more scrutiny to the Federal Detention Center in Batavia. That center, of course, operated by ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Before we get into your story specifically, I'd like you to review some of this reporting that we've heard regarding how COVID-19 has impacted the facility. What's been happening?
Well, early on, there was protest from lawyers due to the fact that immigration court was operating as normal, as opposed to what was going on in New York State and federal courts, where proceedings had been rolled back and limited in light of the pandemic. On top of that, there was concerns from advocates and from people inside, people who are detained inside the facility, that they would not be able to stop the spread of the virus once it entered the facility, and once it did, it would spread like wildfire. And in fact, the Batavia Center has the second most positive diagnoses of COVID-19 among the centers that are tracked by ICE, approximately two dozen of them. There's 49 people inside Batavia who have tested positive for COVID-19.
So that's a problem within itself. Your story takes us a little bit further along here. And initially, when your story went live yesterday, there was no comment from ICE officials. They had refused to comment. But I guess what, late last night, they did come out with some type of comment on the story. What did they say?
We tried to get a hold of ICE for about 2 weeks, and they didn't comment until the story ran last night on television. And ICE said, basically, in a statement that's attributed to their field office director, Thomas Feely, that the story was unfounded and takes away from the professionalism of men and women that work at the facility. I'd like to note that just this morning I spoke to an attorney who said that as recently as 2 weeks ago, he paid $283 for his client's bus ticket to California due to the fact that he had only $20 in his pocket from the commissary. It's this attorney's experience that ICE has not covered the cost of transportation in the 3 years he's been practicing at Batavia.
And their statement said that they, in fact, did cover costs. Let's get into then what the gist of your story was. What happens to detainees when they are released or taken from the facility and released into the general public? Where do they go?
They're dumped at a gas station off the thruway in Batavia that doubles as a bus stop. But I want to emphasize stop, Jay. There's right. No shelter there. It's not a depot. It's a place where buses pull in and pick people up and leave.
So what else happened to some of these detainees once they were released and like you said, dumped off at this gas station?
Well, you know, some of them have to face the prospect of a night on the street. There's been an ad hoc human services network that has popped up in the area in light of this practice. One of the groups calls themselves Los Samaritanos, and they provide snacks, food, a ride for people that are found at the gas station. But one of the people involved with that organization told me that prior to their involvement and the involvement of others, people who were released from ICE custody were sleeping in vestibules in local department stores or otherwise just faced, you know, sitting on the sidewalk waiting for some way to coordinate their travel to their next destination. ICE says in their statement that they pay for transportation costs of people who are released from their custody and that they coordinate the releases with detainees, family members, and attorneys.
Well, Phil Gambini of Investigative Post, I appreciate you joining us this morning. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Jay.